Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst. The trailer looking at Billy Bones. A Paolo Di Canio. A West Ham United. We celebrate our victories. We stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history. The West Ham United. Just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Good evening, good morning, or good afternoon. This is More Than Just a Podcast.
Podcast!
Thanks, Sean.
Do you know what it is?
What is it?
It's not, as the running order says, season 65, episode 25. It's season 6. Episode 25, and I've been looking back. How many episodes do you think we have done since we
nearly
started?
Nearly 200.
Well, quite not far off. About 193. That's a good guess, George.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
193.
You.
That's nearly 200, isn't it?
That is nearly 200. I think that passes as nearly 200.
That is a lot, though, isn't it?
Well,
how many have you missed?
We've done quite a few.
There was a time where you'd never missed a single one.
I know.
One.
I think it was until last season, I never missed a podcast.
I think you'd miss one, and then it went downhill. You moved to the Outer Hebrides.
Yeah, the Hebrides.
Anyway,
we are in
the
studio.
It's so great. By the way, it's so great to have him in the studio tonight, and it's special, which we'll tell you why at the end. But I've got to now drive him back to the Outer Hebrides. It's going to take me 7 hours to drive him back, and it was the only reason I could get him into the studio tonight by agreeing to drive him for 7 hours back to the Outer Hebrides. But you're worth it, George.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
Yes, we are live in the studio for the first time in a while. John's microphone's buzzing again. Isn't it great being in the studio? Isn't the sound quality so much better? That's it.
I've got another one of these. Did I not put it here?
I don't know. I've got a couple behind me. Anyway, it's all right for now. If it kicks off again, we'll try it. We'll stop. Yeah. Hello, John.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right, apart from me buzzy mic.
How was your traffic in, John?
It wasn't too bad, actually.
Yeah.
It's always quite straightforward.
How about you? You got the train?
I got train, yeah. I got bus as well.
How were Southwest trains?
They were working on time today.
Excellent.
Yeah, it
wasn't
bad.
No one threw themselves in front of a train or anything else?
No, today was a good day. It was sunny. Just a
little
infomercial
here. If you're thinking of that, please think about the other people in the rush hour and ring the Samaritans.
Yeah.
Not to make light of it, though. Just to ring the Samaritans.
We're here to talk about West Ham, Sean.
We are. It's not a Samaritans podcast.
No, it's not. Although the Samaritans probably do have a podcast.
Yeah, they probably do.
Oh, I haven't done this tonight. I might bloody listen to it.
The first game we're going to cover is the Liverpool game. I think the less said about this one, the better. I think we should just write it off because it seemed our team.
Well, do you know what?
Wrote it off.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, I got quite a good deal because I didn't go, so I got
surprise.
I got money back from the kids. I got about £9 for each kid from my renewal on the e-purse, and I got £37 back on e-ticket trader as well. Did you see who was in my seat? Was they a nice person?
I didn't notice.
No, I didn't notice.
No.
To be fair, it was pretty empty for most of the game, wasn't it? The seats next to us.
Yeah, they were, actually, yeah.
Because I was doing runs.
I'm going to give you a little bit of a taster.
Shuttle runs.
Doing little dances up and down the empty seats.
Oh, are you? West Ham suffered their joint worst home defeat in the Premier League by losing a 4-goal margin for the third time this season. Losing, I remind you, 5-1 to Arsenal, 4-0 to Man City. This is the first time since 1998-1999 season that the Hammers conceded four or more goals in four different home games in
Shocking.
A single season.
Shocking.
That's not a proud one to do, is it? Why was that? Why have we conceded so many goals at home?
Because we can't defend.
Was it? Because the outside of the pitch is not claret, right? And it was green, and it doesn't help with perception. And if only Cameron Brady would spend £200,000 turning the carpet around the pitch claret, then we wouldn't have lost because we'd have definition and perspective of the pitch.
Could be.
Well, you're glad to know that they are turning the outside of the pitch
goodness.
Claret. And Karen's put a hand in a pocket of £200,000.
We're going to win the league now.
She's paying for it personally, is she?
Yeah, probably. Outboard appearance.
How bad is that going to look?
Some people have actually said it might look quite
how
nice.
How have we gone from talking about Liverpool
game
to
sorry. We're not a stadium podcast. Let's do the stats. I know you don't want to talk a bit about this. West Ham goals 0. Liverpool 4. Possession of West Ham at home, 33%, which obviously meant they had 67%. West Ham shots, 10, only 3 on target. Oh. The Reds, the mighty Reds, 26 shots, 11 on target. And that was another stat that it was the most shots on target against West Ham all season. There you go.
There you go. Well and truly beaten, methinks.
We didn't turn up, yeah.
We didn't. I mean, the only
I couldn't even tell you who those three shots on target, by the way.
Well, yeah, we started off all
we
right.
Had a good, we had a good couple of chances in the first half.
I
mean, Ayew should have scored.
Yeah, Ayew's miss. I was right in front of us. You know, they
that
started
was
off all right.
Hit the
we
post
just
twice.
Sort of like when they scored and, yeah, we just seen a fall
Someone
apart.
Described it, who was it, as the miss of the season. Worthy of the miss of the season.
It was got to be up there.
Yeah, it was quite a bad miss.
Yeah.
But, you know, we didn't really deserve to win it, did we? And I know we had the controversial elbow in the face and the handball.
Yeah, like
that led to their
things like
third
that change
goal.
Games.
So you can argue that maybe killed the game off. We were only 2-0 down at the time, but
we've had a few of them this year, haven't we? As well, we've had a few of those big decisions go against us against the big teams, and then we get beaten badly.
Badly.
Have you seen that video that's going around on Twitter? About this Liverpool guy, and he's going, I think I sent it to you, John. This isn't a proper stadium. I really feel sorry for West Ham. And this drunk bloke comes along and he went, oh, we effing hate Scousers.
And he goes, Sean sent to himself
and,
today.
And we, and he said, yeah, and we hate you. Do you remember it?
I saw it, yes.
Yeah.
I don't think it's really worth the mention.
Well, I thought it was really funny. The bloke. Did you see it though?
I did see it. Yeah, I think you put it on the group.
I did put it on the group. Yeah.
Moving on, anyway, to the next game. That was that game. That's that game done.
I'm going to ask one question.
Any more for any more?
Yeah. The other thing I want to ask you is, what time did you leave?
Between the third and fourth goal, didn't we?
Can't remember.
Oh, where really? That early?
Well, so we've like got a free goal rule, Sean.
70.
You know?
Yeah. A free goal rule before half time, actually. That's the rule.
Where did we go? We had to go somewhere that night as well, didn't we?
Concert.
Bella's birthday dinner.
That's right.
So you left around 70 minutes, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You Got didn't moved stay to a Sunday, for the. Didn't you didn't stay.
Didn't stay for the.
Lap of Honour.
The Lap of Honour, no. And no one else did.
Nigel Kahn did.
Of course he did. Where is Nigel, by the way? Is he not expecting to join the podcast?
Well, I didn't really tell him about this because we're in the studio and we haven't got the technology to join him on the phone, so I sort of dropped him. Which is why we didn't talk about it on the other WhatsApp group.
I was expecting him to turn up any minute.
Yeah. Well, he came to Surrey once. He went to Weybridge, didn't he? To Brooklyn.
That was last week.
Yeah. He came to Surrey once.
Yeah. Didn't like it, apparently. he stayed for the Lap of Honour with about 100 other people. And Aaron Cresswell got in a fight.
Oh, yeah.
Allegedly. Well, no, not allegedly. I think he did. He got held back. Some fan tried to... He was about to hand his shirt to some Hammer youngster. and this guy ripped it from his hands, and Aaron took great exception to that and took a swing at him and had to be held back. Some reports say he had him by the neck. Aaron Creswell had him by the neck and then was pulled off by the fan, by the stewards, and wasn't a happy bunny of where what the stewards did to him and how the whole thing was handled.
Oh, really?
He's a Scouser as well, isn't
when
he?
When was the last time you were pulled off by the stewards, Sean?
I've never been pulled off by the stewards.
And were you happy with how that situation was handled?
Because I've never been pulled off by the stewards, I wouldn't know how that has been handled.
Okay. Moving swiftly on, West Ham 2, Burnley 1. Our last game of the season, an away game at Turf Moor. A bit of a dead game. Not much to play for other than a couple of places.
But the omens were with us. I mean, I know lots of people thought we'd lose. However, you know, we won the last five games against them. They were shocking in their last... I forget how long since they won a game.
And they had a good home record, though, didn't they? They won more... The guys say they've got more home points than Man United.
And this is a stat that got it for me. Andre Ayew has scored and assisted in the same Premier League game for the third time. Obviously for different clubs. Hmm. And it's the fifth game in a row we beat Burnley. So, we had it over. The Clarets.
We did. We won one.
And we deserved it. I thought we played really well.
I didn't watch it all. I watched bits of it.
And Fagouli really stood out for me. And it showed me that Fagouli has been played out of position. And if he plays in that sort of three role that he was given, he's far better.
Yeah.
And actually, I have more time for AU in the position he played as well. I'm thinking if he'd have played the whole season.
I think we need to give time to AU, to be honest. Yeah. He's clearly got something.
He has. I mean, he's got six goals now. He was catching up. If he'd have stayed fit all season and played more, I think he could have been top goal scorer. Remember, Antonio got it with eight, or was it nine? Nine. So he's only
just not good enough, is it, for the Premier League?
It's not. No,
we didn't. Top goal scorer, nine goals.
It's embarrassing that not a single one of our goal scorers got 10 goals, isn't it?
Anyway, we went 1-0 down and then responded pretty quickly for Gooley's goal.
I think a £4 million goal, that was.
I think we all agreed that the defending was shocking on both sides.
It was, yeah.
And then it was I didn't really see much other than the goals. Was it a tight game in between?
I think we dominated. When it came to the end of the first half, I mean, they got the early goal. The goal, by the way, that we conceded was Lanzini didn't have one of his better games. Don't you agree, John? He was a bit poor on the touch, and it was him who gave away the ball. And is it Andy Gray? What's his name? The Burnley guy. Then
it's not Andy Gray.
Andre Gray. Then literally went through Gingy's legs, didn't he? Right through Gingy's legs. I'm trying to remember the striker who got their goal. He slotted it in. Do you know?
Oh, I can't remember.
It will come back to me.
But
poor defending. I mean, for one to go through Gingy's legs, but Lanzini gave it away to begin with. But it was against the run of play, I thought. I thought we deserved... I mean, we replied for Gooley. I said their defence was awful 4 minutes later. Yeah, and that moved us up. In the live table, that moved us up two places. So it was a £4 million goal. It moved us up to
Well, we moved up a lot of tables that game, didn't we?
We did. We then dropped... Then Stoke scored and we moved down to 13th. And, of course... And then it was AU again. He gets a few of these, just nodding in a simple goal.
Yeah, it was
a
funny goal, wasn't it?
Well, that's like the third one he's got like that, simple tap-ins.
That was Fernandez's hit, wasn't it?
Fernandez, yeah. I'm really fancying Fernandez, actually, now.
Signing of the season, wasn't he?
Well, he was, according to Player Awards, the £330 a head Player Awards. Yeah, he was a sign of the season.
He's a good player.
Masaku, I would have given sign of the season personally, but
really,
yeah, I think he's a better left back than Aaron Creswell, the fighter.
Well, we went up another table, didn't we? Because he brought on a teenager, didn't he?
Oh yes, I'm glad you mentioned that because you said And I haven't put it in the running order what David Gold said, because I think it's been taken completely out of context for an 80-year-old.
How every time someone picks him up on something,
it's out of context.
You excuse it as out of context, right. And you back it up with he's 80 years old.
Right.
You know?
So you tell me.
Can you not suggest? Why don't you
paraphrase what he said?
He said it's extremely hard for a teenager.
Yeah.
To break into a team full of seasoned professionals.
Internationals. Yes, he did say that. I'm glad you used the word teenager instead of youth, which a lot of other people have. Because there's a difference between a teenager and a youth player, by the way. Someone 16, 17 or 18, 19, when they're 20, they're not a teenager anymore. Just to point that out, a lot of people have missed that.
When you go from 19 to 20.
I think we all have to accept that it's extremely unlikely a teenager will break into a Premier League team full of seasoned international.
Yeah. So he wasn't just talking about West Ham, a Premier League team. He didn't say West Ham, he said a Premier League team.
But there's been quite a few Premier League teams that have brought
Chelsea.
In.
How many teams
is just the wrong example.
All right, Spurs then. Let's talk about Spurs. How many of
Dele Alli,
minutes?
How many minutes?
How many minutes has a teenager from Spurs played in a team?
I don't know.
Nine. It's obviously not Alli, and it's not that. It's 9 minutes. For the whole season, 9 minutes.
I'm sure Dele Alli turned
We're now on 4 minutes, by the way, for Declan Rice. Really? And we could have beaten Spurs if only we'd put them on 5 minutes early. The point is, John...
Marcus Rashford?
With the exception of Everton...
Tom Davis.
Yeah. And Manchester United.
Why does there need to be an exception? Why do they?
Right, because the problem is, right, this is not a West Ham youth podcast.
Shall I tell you what the problem is? The problem is, it's not so much as he said it was difficult for teenagers to break through. What he said was teenagers break through with seasoned internationals.
Right.
What seasoned internationals? Like Caleri. Right. I mean, is Fletcher not worth a... Is it not?
Well,
you're not better
I'm not
off,
sure Fletcher's up to it, by the way.
Yeah, but are you not better off to give him more... Have we not seen more out of Fletcher than we have out of Caleri? You know, is it not better off to give these players a chance than give all these
random... By the way, if you looked at it last season, we'd have been way up there on the teenage because obviously Reece Oxford played a number of games.
Yeah, and then what? And then what?
And then he's not up to it.
Now they should...
And now he's
going to... Really, he's not up to it.
He's not up to... Look, the problem is the days of Michael Owen being thrown into a Premier League team, the gamble, the money is so big, you have to cut your teeth in the championship last season
for him to start Oxford in our first game of the season.
It was a massive gamble.
Our first game of the season at Arsenal.
Yep.
And he actually bossed that game. He had a superb game and then we never saw him again.
Right. I agree, but that's up to Slav and that's up to Terry Wesley.
It's up to the whole thing needs...
I can tell you, right, because we've now been talking to Terry Wesley, as you know, the Clarence Hugh, building up under 25. I can tell you, he believes that quite a few of the players are ready to play first team. That starts with Declan Rice, but it's Oxford, it's Burke, it's Quinner. And it's Martinez.
Samuelson?
Six. I think Samuelson suffered a little bit with some confidence issues.
At Peterborough.
So I think he's not quite in there. But there is six that he believes already for the first team.
But you've got to remember, Terry Wesley,
that's his job, though. It's his job. But he has admitted to us, it's not just about getting them into the first team. It's also making a bit of profit and selling some of them off as well.
Yeah, but the bottom line is a team like West Ham, with the absolute, you know, history of the academy, and you know, they much play on it. They use it for wherever they can to have a history. They've been there for 7 years, Sean.
All right. Well, let me ask you a question.
They've been there for 7 years. Right? In the time they have been there, there's not been one player brought in. And
where do we live? What county? What county do we live in?
Well, Surrey.
And just down the road in Cobham is one of the best.
Hang on a minute.
Let me finish.
No,
you've
I'm
had
not.
Your say.
You keep going on about the Chelsea.
Chelsea Academy is one of the best examples. It's one of the best academies for facilities in the country. It's down the road in Cobham. I pass it every morning. How many teenagers, forget that, or youth players, have come through that state-of-the-art academy, which is one of the best, if not the best, in the Premier League, and how many of them have played in the first team?
How many?
To the nearest one or two.
How many have come out of that system and play for other teams? How many of them are out on loan around Europe playing for first teams? They have got...
But how many broken through?
You cannot compare our team in any aspect, in at any level, compare it to Chelsea. You just can't do it. We are no... They are light years ahead of us. Light years.
But they don't go for the first team. Look, they we're not going to win on this.
What Chelsea do?
I'm not an apologist for the club. All I will
Chelsea
say
Chelsea buy a lot of their youngsters as well.
Yeah, it's a gamble. Yeah, they hoover up everybody they can.
Yeah, and then it's how they've got their ability to
Everton
play.
Have done, and don't get me wrong, if there's one person I want to show, I mean, Southampton have done really well. Everton have done even better of bringing theirs
through. Chelsea had a policy to do all that, to be able to break down their financial fair play figures so they could keep these players on loan. They then charge like they did with Lukaku and all that. They sell them on for large fees and then
but
it gives them...
At the end of the day, you've got to look at our club, right? We're not performing right, as well as we want to. Our owners refuse to invest as much as we want them to in the summer, so why not play some of our youngsters?
Well, because I don't think they've been up to it. You tell me anyone who's left and has gone on, with the exception of probably Stanislas, right? Who else has left there? So our last person who came through the academy was James Tompkins, now at, obviously Palace. Yeah. Before that, it was Jack Collison. Before that, it was probably Mark Noble, right? That's how bad it is. It goes back 10 years. Who, please tell me, has left the academy, proved us wrong, and goes, oh, yeah, yeah, look at Elliot Lee. We all said, look at Elliot Lee. He's banging them in for fun in the development squad. What happened to him?
But you don't see...
Where is he
now?
You don't know if he had a chance there,
though. But someone would have picked him up.
Harry Kane at Tottenham, they were going to get rid of him. They didn't know... There was no sign of it, what he's done, until he got his chance.
Who in the youth team... Would you have played all season?
I can't name anyone that would play all season.
I think Oxford should have been in and around the squad all season.
Who would you replace them? You would take out.
I wouldn't have bought Font.
Or Bonner. Or you wouldn't have taken Font.
I wouldn't have bought Font.
All right, fair enough. I
wouldn't have.
You wouldn't have bought Font. You would have spent 8 million on Font. You would have kept him in.
Yeah, I would have kept Reece Burke. He could have done the right back. Dealt with that issue.
Okay. It's an important role, centre back. I'm not even sure, by the way, Reece Oxford is actually a centre back anymore. He's a defence. They've played him as a defensive midfielder.
I just think this the way this whole our whole club of theirs, they've been there for 7 years, not one player through the academy, the famous academy, and then he comes out with a statement like that. It's just just pass me.
The one that's really frustrated me this season has been the Caleri and Fletcher issue. Caleri's clearly going back in summer.
£4 million loan we paid on.
We're not going to keep. We're not going to keep
him. I agree with you on this one.
Why not play Fletcher?
It was a chairman's pick. £4 million loan, which was ridiculous from a dodgy. No option to buy. What the hell was he doing that he believed in Caleri to play him again and again and again? By the way, the only reason he didn't play against Burnley, bringing it back to Burnley, do you know why?
No.
He was injured. Otherwise, he would have played him.
Yeah.
But anyway, Sean, we got to hear something.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Let's say sure. Let's see what the gaffer had to say.
Slaven, you got the win that you wanted to finish the season.
Yeah, we wanted to finish finish positive, you know. And the guys done everything. We deserve to win, to beat them, and it's always nice, you know, to win the last game because this result stays. You know, you can't make it up in a week time or whatever. So that's why I'm really pleased for the guys.
You can reflect probably at greater length in weeks to come on how the season's gone, but initially, what do you think? Has this been a disappointing campaign?
Look, we thought that we're going to do better, but considering everything, and I didn't want to talk about that during the season, you know, we want to stay positive and all that. We had so many obstacles. So many injuries, so many surgeries, like 8 surgeries, which is like not normal. And then also, although the move to the new stadium is the best thing the club has ever done, long term, it needs, like for every club, it needs time to settle in. So considering all that, it was a tough season. had ups and downs, but at the end we done it, and I have to praise the guys for that. We showed the belief, we never lost the belief, we showed the character also, we showed the quality, and we finished 11th. We wanted to finish better than that, but in this kind of a league, we are 1 point from being 8th, I think. In this league, it's not a season to talk about, like to hail it, but it's not a very, very bad season, so we've done it.
Other people have had lots to say about the move to the stadium. You've kept quiet. Has it actually been pretty difficult?
It was difficult. It was difficult for, I don't know, you know better than me, for if you're talking about England with Arsenal, if you're talking about Man City when they move, Southampton, and a lot of clubs in Europe, you know, you need time, and it's still not over, you know, it's still very, very hard to get that Upton Park feeling, but it's going to be better and better, like it actually was, apart from a game against Liverpool last week, that there was a bit of complacency in it, because we done the job against Spurs week before, we improved a lot home. With the way we play, with the way we press the people, the opponent, and that. So I'm expecting to be better next year, of course.
Is it going
to
be a busy summer for you?
Not busy in the terms of... I think for every club it's going to be busy, you know, but because, I mean, even Barcelona want to improve their team, and the squad, and Juventus is improving their team, and you think they're ideal. Like, so it will, but... Like today's game showed that we have a quantity of players, we have a squad. Okay, sometimes some players maybe will go, we have to replace them with some players, but we were today we were without eight players, and still we had a good team out. So if we're talking about squad, I'm happy with the squad, but we need a few players to improve our first 11 and to improve at least the competition for like to play, you know. So it's easy to say we have our targets, but make no mistake, our targets are the targets also for 8-10 clubs in the Premier League. So you have to do it, and it's not only down to us, you know. We have to do a good business, and hopefully we're going to do it.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your help. Thank you.
There you go, John. That's what the gaffer had to say. What do you think?
Yeah, I think he sounded like a relieved man, like us all. We was glad this season is over, and let's look onwards and upwards.
You are so full of shit. You haven't got a clue what he said, because you never listened to
I heard the last little bit there when we redid
it.
He said thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Season review. We ended 11th place on 45 points, but two more points would have bagged 8th place. Where did it all go wrong? Was it a perfect storm?
That's what Slav said. I don't know if you've read his article in the London Evening Standard, but he said, I wasn't going to say this before because it was an excuse, but he said it was a perfect storm of Payet leaving, the London Stadium move, the injuries, which he said he had 10 of, the summer signing settling in, not being crap, he said settling in. He said it was a perfect storm of all of those together. Do you agree, John?
Well, it kind of looks that way.
The question
is an excuse. It's
all an excuse, really. But really, all you've got to think is how many of those factors are of our own making?
What do you mean?
Apart from the injuries, they're all our fault, right? Payet leaving.
It's not my fault.
No, not us. Not us.
Well,
sitting Payet,
here. You knew was. I mean, I think you said, you know,
yeah,
or you, John.
One of Payet's reasons for leaving was because he'd been promised these big name signings that hadn't come, and he was
disillusioned. That's not his reason for leaving. He's a troublemaker whose agent always wanted to get the next buck, and it was always going to end like that, you know? Someone else.
Signings didn't settle in because the majority of them were shit.
A billionaire came in and bought Marseille, and he came back to Marseille. He never wanted to leave Marseille in the first
place. I'm
not talking
about Payet anymore.
All right.
I'm talking about the stadium causing issues. We chose to move.
It's not people standing, sitting, or the steward issues.
Well, what's he saying then? What is
well,
he,
I know
he?
He's saying that. I'm saying it's bollocks and it's excuses. You know,
I would say without a doubt the stadium's cost us points this season. There's no doubt about that, Sean.
Do you know how close it was? I've said today there were three leagues, right? Everton, who finished seventh, 61 points.
Sean, we dropped 22 points from winning positions.
So there was a top seven, which was includes Everton. They got 61 points, as we know. Chelsea got 93, right? Do you know what the next one down, eighth place, was?
How many do you think? I really don't care, Sean.
46 points.
The point.
So 46 points to eighth. And if you go all the way down to 17th,
this
it's
season,
40 points.
From the points, so the points totals are shit.
Yeah, well, I'm saying that in the mid-tier, so 34 points or under got you relegated, so that's the lower one. The mid-tier, there were 6 points covering all the mid-tier from 7th place all the way down to
17th. And we lost 22 points from winning positions.
And I said today, and I got shouted about it, I said, Sunderland, remember Sunderland? We were 2-1 up, we conceded, sloppy goal in the last... in injury time. If we'd have held on to that,
that wasn't
we'd have
Sunderland. That was
it was Sunderland. Sunderland was away in April.
Oh,
yeah.
Away. Yeah.
Yeah, we were 2-1 up. Yeah. We conceded. That cost us two points. West Brom. That would enough been enough for us to finish eighth.
West Brom.
Right? Eighth instead of 11th. Now, eighth, you'd have been going, well, actually, we finished seventh last year. Eighth. There is nothing to choose. Or we could have lost another point and we would be down at 17th place. That shows you this year, that mid-table obscurity, that it's a point in
way. We've been absolutely shit all
season. And we've still finished in 11th. How did we do that then?
Because the rest of the league's been pretty shit as well.
Yeah.
But I'd say, without a doubt, the stadium has cost us points. You can't say that the settling in of the stadium, the trouble, the stewards, the
whatever. How many points do you think it was...
It was a toxic atmosphere there for a long time, wasn't it? At the beginning of the season, all this stuff, sit down, stand up and fight in. And also, it was a real toxic atmosphere. I'm sure it did.
How many points do you think it's cost the stadium?
3 or 4 at least.
George, do you agree?
I definitely agree, yeah.
There was times where we really needed a win and you would have banked on a win against certain teams.
Do you think the injuries caused us problems?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. We've been bad. We've very bad injury run.
And Piatt, what did Piatt cause us? Because, I mean, there was lots of games before he left, he just didn't turn up.
Yeah,
it was Huey, actually. Huey said to me, the problem is, he built his team around Piatt. When Piatt left, we didn't really, we had to think of another plan.
But we saw it coming, didn't we? Because we'd see him running.
He would go, no,
he'd
and wave
past
his hands and say,
don't give the ball to me. Yeah. We were like, what's going on there?
Let me ask you a question. If the stadium cost us 3 or 4 points and the injuries cost us 3 or 4 points and Piatt cost us 3 or 4 points, should we have finished?
Well,
do you know what that means?
Between 9 to 12 points more than we've got.
That would put us right top 7. That would.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Puts above, you know, on like 63 points then.
Yeah, we could have well...
Above Everton in sixth place.
We could have
so
well
you're saying
been
we are top six or we should be top six?
We could have well been in a similar position that we were last season. We could have well done.
Yeah.
If we hadn't moved And if they'd have bought better, because that's the other side of it, isn't it? The players they bought in didn't really improve us in any way.
Well, I'm gonna actually say, I know, and look, I'm glad Slav's staying next season, right? I know some people have said who listen that I'm anti-Slav, but I've been disappointed in him playing people in out of positions like Antonio at the beginning of the season. Some of his tactics. I've been disappointed in his signings, which he did sign off on. I don't care what you say, John. As Tony Henry's been on the West Ham TV today to say how it works, right? And saying that Billage has picked the players, not anyone else, and we've backed him. And I think there's second season syndrome with him.
I just
where people found him out and go, I know last year we don't know how West Ham plays. Oh, now we know because Slaven Bilic plays the same way. And it was only when he started moving free at the back, only a few games away, he mixed it up. Up to then, he was so predictable. Tell me I'm wrong, George.
You're wrong, Sean.
Do you really think that Slav had an excellent game, season?
No.
This season?
No, I don't.
There's no criticism for
it. I think a lot of poor substitutions were made throughout the season that have cost us points, definitely.
So my question to you guys, right, and then we move on to this. How many points has Slaven Bilic cost us this season? Oof.
How do you know? I'd have to look back at
Come up with the stadium. You were really quick to say how much the stadium
Because we've experienced that firsthand.
Yeah, we've been personally
But you know how it affected the players, but you can't say how. I think Slaven has cost us somewhere between 7 and 9 points.
Oh, that's a lot of points.
A lot of points.
So if we'd have got the points from the stadium, we'd have got the points from
we'd have won the league.
We'd have won the league, we'd have got 94 points and we'd have won the bloody league. Yeah.
I just don't...
Chelsea won 30... Think about it. Chelsea won 30 games this season. That's a new record.
There's no way you could ever convince me that when Slaven Bilic went at the end of last season, he went in there and said, look, what I really want is Nordvite on a free... I want Fagouli, he's on a free. Get me Caleri, we'll have him as well. Mm. Get me Ashley Fletcher, he's in the youth team at Man United.
Yeah.
I'll have him. There's no way.
Well, he did want Simone Zaza, though.
There's no way. That
and
he
did want Gokhan-Tor.
Well, them two, I can believe.
Yeah.
Them two, I can believe.
Anyway.
We earned 119 million for our 11th place finish, and we're on target to have a 268 million turnover.
268 million.
Turnover is vanity. Profit is sanity, but cash is reality, Sean. That's a lovely little
saying. Do you like
that?
It's a old business saying.
Is it?
And the thing is, do you know what? We earned 142 million turnover last season, which was a record. If you go back to 2012 when we won the championship, our turnover was 46 million. That's all it was. So we're now in the Super League. 268 million is massive. But as it says, turnover is vanity. Profit is sanity. Any profit we make, by the way, we made about £30 million profit last year. It went straight away in all the players we signed. And this year, it will probably go in all...
Waste of money.
It all goes in the players. Do you know how much last year... So we got £35 million in from St. Piatt for 25 and Tompkins for 10. We spent £61 million on incoming players, including Snodgrass.
Here we go.
Is
there wages?
Not wages. Actual...
Loan fees.
No, and loan fees was £11 million on top of that.
Yeah.
So it was £72 million in total last season that we paid in transfer fees and loan fees.
25 net up until January, everyone was saying.
36 net we paid.
Yeah, and that's because they went out and they
£10 million on Snodgrass. You've got to remember Lanzini was £10 million.
What a great buy.
We paid 20.5 for AU.
Another great buy.
Yeah. But it does. We spent 60 million, 61 million, almost 61 million, another 11 million on loan. The problem is, the more turnover you get, it doesn't matter because if it goes straight out the door again, and why I say the last thing, cash is king or cash is reality, at the end of the day, cash flow is the lifeblood of any business. You know that because you run a business. We still borrow £30 million every year from a payday loan company to aid our cash flow. So what's that tell you, John?
Tells you that our owners are tight arses because one of them's a billionaire, the other one's a multi-millionaire.
Well, they're not there to fund the club anymore.
Why would you borrow the money?
They funded it in the past.
I don't take anything out of that club.
268 million. We haven't moved on to the next level yet. It's all for show.
Mate, 7 year. They had a 7 year plan, or was it? Was it a 5 year plan to get us in Champions League?
I think it was. I think it was seven.
Was it a 7 year plan?
Yeah. I think it was a 7 year plan in 2010.
We're a million miles away, aren't we? So, how much more money did the stadium get us this season?
Around 12 million in ticket sales, and then we get an increase of around 30%, about 7 million in retail and sponsorship. So it's around 20 million, 19 to 20 million it earned us.
So we're going to spend that on a player.
But we spent 15 million as our contribution that came out of the bowling ground. We spent 15 million paying our bank debts off and another £8 million on branding in the shop and changing the seats. But don't worry, we're going to change more of those white seats to claret, so when people are missing next year, it won't show up so much, John. That's true. That is true.
You're joking.
No, I'm not joking. That is true.
Talking of transfer funds and fees, time for transfer rumours.
Yeah.
So out, we've got rumoured as Carroll, Caleri, I think we all know he's going to go. Valencia, I don't think it's a surprise. Arbeloa, not a surprise. Torre, I thought he's already gone. Randolph, Nordvite, Snodgrass. Roma interested in Fuguli and Masuaku. Lanzini could be on his way to Everton and AU's Marseille. Back to Marseille.
Yeah, well, that's his dad. His dad spoke to the French media this week and said...
Marseille keep nicking all our players.
Well, you know, he started on with Marseille, with Payet. Yes, and he said, you know, I really hope my son can go back to Marseille where it all started. The fans love him. He's a Marseille fan. I mean, it was very bad of him to say that of his son.
So from all of these rumours here, I think what's the most likely? Caleri, we know, is definitely going back, right?
Caleri is definitely going back. Torre,
we know, is definitely going back.
Yeah, he is.
Caleri wants to stay.
Caleri wants to stay.
Of course he does.
Yeah,
of course
he
does.
Stay in the Premier League.
Why not?
He's just got used to the pace of the Premier League, and he wants to stay at West Ham.
Arbeloa.
There is an option to buy now, by the way.
Valencia, how long has he got left in his contract with us?
I think he's got about 2 years, but I can tell you exclusively that we will take £10 million from Everton. We bargain price £10 million.
Are they interested?
Yeah, they are definitely.
Why? So Carroll,
I think he's done all right for him, hasn't he?
Carroll's been rumoured that he, it's a stupid rumour, but he would go back to Newcastle, and Rafa wants him at Newcastle.
I don't think that's that stupid.
£8 million apparently, sold him for 35. They will pay £8 million to get him go. Back. We would take as low as £7 million for him to get him off the books.
I think let him go. And then coming in.
Is there any... Can I just ask you, before we move on that...
Lanzini, they can't let Lanzini go.
No, Lanzini's not being sold at any price, but Everton are interested in him. I don't think Fuguli, Masuaku, I know Roma are interested in him. I wouldn't let either of them go either.
I'd let Fuguli go for a decent battle.
Would you?
Yeah.
How about Norfite?
No, I think keep him as a squad player. I think we talked about that last week.
Yeah. Snodgrass?
Get rid.
Yeah, I don't think. And Randolph, I mean, the idea is they've already signed a new deal with Adrian. If a top keeper came in, they would let Randolph go. Wouldn't you? I mean...
Yeah, let him go.
I don't understand this rumour with Ruddy. I'd rather... Because he's a free transfer now, isn't he?
He is. All right, so let's
go. Is Ruddy a free transfer?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, there we
I'd
go.
Rather go and get Begovic.
Yeah.
So let's start in order of the ins.
Well, ins, we've got Zabelta.
That's supposed to be Zabaleta.
Zabaleta, sorry.
It is, it's a done deal, I'm told. It will happen this week. By the time you should hear it, this podcast, if not soon afterwards.
Do we like
that? It's the first sign-in of the season.
I think it's good short-term.
Same wages as Andy Carroll on $85,000 a week. Signing on fee of several million. Big agent fee and bonuses too.
Oh, I think he's an absolutely archetypical West Ham signing. That is
what quality player at the end of his career.
At the end of his career, we've seen it all through the years. Yep. From Brady down.
2 year deal with an option for a third. By the way,
Jermaine Defoe looks like he's on his way to Bournemouth, so let's count that one out.
Do you think that he won't come to West Ham?
He's going to Bournemouth. I think Sky Sports News have just announced.
I know they're saying he will go to Bournemouth, but it's not all done yet. Although he does want $100,000 a week.
He'll go to
Bournemouth. And he does want a £6 million signing fee. If it was your money, would you give him $100,000 a week and a £6 million signing fee, or would you tell him to fuck off?
Thanks for your censorship earlier, Sean.
Yeah. I wouldn't. I mean, for all that's said and done about Defoe, I don't want him.
Pickford and Ruddy, two goalkeepers. Pickford, I think everyone wants him, so he won't get him.
He's about 22 million.
Ruddy's realistic, I think. Probably will end
Why
up
Why would Ruddy, is Ruddy any better than
I don't
Randall?
Think so.
I think Ruddy was a decent keeper from what I remember him in. But he's not. He got an England call up, didn't he? Based on his form and what he did.
If he was good enough, he'd have been picked up before this, right? Surely.
Yeah, I think it's like one of those that just slips.
But as I said, I'd rather go and get Begovic.
I didn't put Begovic on the list,
but maybe I should.
And then Batshuayi. So
I didn't spell it right. Loan. We're going to try and go all out for a loan. Chelsea might not want to sell.
I read that he's being used as what's the word?
Bait
in another transfer for a French striker.
But they're really keen on bringing him in alone.
Shane Long, I'd like.
Yeah, so would I, actually.
I know you wouldn't, John.
I don't.
I think Shane Long's still got a lot to give.
I think Shane Long reminds me of our favourite Carlton Cole.
Couldn't disagree more. Daniel Sturridge. No, thank you. Gylfie Sigurdsson would love it. But he will cost best part of 30 million. Especially now Swansea stayed up.
Yeah, never happening.
Wiltshire, no thank you.
Wiltshire and Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Oxlade-Chamberlain I'd take.
Both 50 million for the pair. Oxford are prepared to sell them.
Oxford?
Sorry?
Did you just say Oxford?
Oxford, sorry. Arsenal are prepared to sell.
Well, if we could get Oxlade-Chamberlain, I'd be all over that. But yeah, I wouldn't want Wiltshire.
Would you spend 30 million for him?
Yeah, I probably would.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Why is he not fancied by Wenger anymore then?
I don't know. Okay. We need someone of his type. See, I think we need someone like him. We need a striker like a Batshuayi.
Yeah.
Or what do you call it? Iheanacho's on your list.
Yeah, yeah.
We need a striker. We need someone like him. And I think if we got a Begovic.
Yeah.
And we got those three players and brought in to the squad the Oxfords and that to make up.
I think
up
we want two strikers, a goalkeeper, and a right back is what we're looking for. Anyway, well, move on, George.
Well, I'm just going to roll through the others. Iheanacho, I think, one stands up.
Ghazal, what's that? Who's that?
He's an Algerian winger who's been linked.
You're an Algerian winger.
How about Wood? Scored 30 goals for Leeds.
He is like our friend Carlton Cole.
Do you think so?
Yep.
What's the Man City youngster, the 20-year-old who's allegedly available?
Iheanacho.
Iheanacho, yeah. He's available for 20 million.
I would.
Everton won.
I'd be all over that. I remember seeing him. I think it was last season at the Boleyn, and he came on, and he just absolutely changed the game. I'd be all over that.
Do you know who Stockdale is?
Fulham goalkeeper.
Yeah.
No, you're all right.
We got.
Boney's not going to happen,
back
by the way.
Again. Onyekuru.
This is the Nigerian person who said the deal's done. I've just got to do personal terms.
To another club, though, aren't
it? Yeah, he's been. There's a lot of clubs after him, including Spurs and
Arsenal. Is he the one they're talking about? Yeah.
Arsenal and
he's
Everton.
He's an Arsenal fan.
But actually, as senior sources say, we don't know even though. We are talking to him. We don't even know if he can make the jump to the Premier League.
Luke Shaw, Troy Deeney, Anthony Martial, Joe Hart, John Terry, Wayne Rooney, Torre, Ched Adams. Who's he?
He's in the Championship, if I remember rightly.
I'm going to Google him.
And Dries Martins.
Dries Martins.
Dries Martins. Sean, when you say Ched Adams, do you mean Ched Evans?
No.
I can't find anyone called Ched Adams. But Ched Evans has just re-signed for Sheffield United after much controversy, isn't he?
Yeah, it's not him.
The season ahead, what should Slav and the owners do differently, John?
Yeah, exactly. This one's for you. Come on. You're in charge, mate. What does he need to do differently next season? And the owners, whichever you want to start. They had their meeting today at Essex.
I would buy, taking account we are getting Zabaleta.
Yep.
I would buy another three players over and above them that just come straight in and command a start. So I'm talking about the Iheanachos. and Oxlade-Chamberlain. Players of standing that will come in and they will be automatically starters. I would get rid of some of that deadwood we've said on there.
Yeah.
I'd make up the squad with your Reece Oxfords, your Reece Burks,
yeah,
and your Rices and stuff.
Josh Cullen.
Yeah.
Josh Cullen's, yeah. And
what would you do tactical?
I would carry on
4-4-2.
I
would carry on with a three
at the back. At the back. I like that.
I think we got some players that make. I think Creswell's set up for a wing back role. So yeah,
what would you do with the backroom team? Would you change some of the backroom team?
I would freshen up the backroom team.
Yeah? Would you get rid of Julian Dix?
No, not necessarily.
Right. Who would put out the cones then?
I would get in some more ex West Ham into the squad. Yeah.
Really?
So really? Coaching. Yeah.
Well, what makes them? Isn't it the best person for the job and not just getting a load of old cronies? No, well, disrespect.
See, all of the things that we've discussed tonight about the youngsters and the ex-players now, all I know is that tomorrow night or Wednesday night, Ajax are bowling into a cup final.
Hmm.
They've got one of the youngest teams ever and the whole, virtually all their coaching staff are ex-players. It's all been inbred into them about the
Pops
club.
Is remember in charge of the under-18s. Remember, we did win the Premier League 2, Division 2. We are Premier League 2 champions of Division 2. And we've got promoted to Division 1. Huh?
Play more youngsters in the first team then.
So,
Terry Wesley's just signed a new 3-year deal.
That's
put him in charge.
I would do Terry Wesley. From the management side and from the board side, I would make sure that happens, that they put their money in their pocket.
Yep.
And I would just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I thought you might say that. All right, final thing. What would you do with the stadium next season? If the stadium cost us 3 or 4 points, what would you change at the stadium next season?
The stadium.
Yeah. As you know, I'm going to a sports advisory board on Wednesday in 2 days' time with Karen Brady. If I'm going to take one message to Karen from you, John, what would it be? And just remember, it shouldn't really be a swear word. What am I
resign,
message?
Please.
I promise you, if it's a sensible suggestion, I will tell her on Wednesday.
I'm past it, Sean.
Resigned to the...
I'm resigned to the fate of it. We're renewing, aren't we, even though we said we never would.
Yeah. Have you changed your Twitter profile now?
No. But I think this changing the green around the outside is just going to...
I think that's a bad idea. I'm going to agree with you.
The space between the pitch and the stands look terrible now. Can you imagine when it's really showing out in a different colour?
Yeah.
But and all this stuff about the changing of the all of our branding and stuff out of the stadium for the championship and stuff.
Did you read that?
Who pays that?
The taxpayer does. I don't know if you heard about the business rates that there's a big thing in the Telegraph today that we don't pay our business rates, which wasn't news really. It's got to be a clean stadium. So they might even have to remove the sign, the illuminated sign. I think they might cover it up.
Just cover it.
But all the, they might have to cover up the same West Ham because the rules are, and it's in the contract, it's got to be a clean stadium without branding, without logos. So all the shirts probably have to come down. All of that. Everything
crazy,
that's West Ham needs to be stripped out of that stadium just for the World Athletics.
And we're going to play...
And it'll cost hundreds of thousands of pounds to do that.
How many games are we going to be playing away at the beginning of the season?
3 games. So at the beginning of the season...
First 3 games
first
away.
First 3 games. Up to 3 games. It might be 2. Depends on how we're drawn. But we won't play in there until September.
Right.
Good, because I always go away late August anyway. So
yeah, you do.
I usually miss the first game anyway.
Well, you've missed this season.
I'm away at the end of August as well, so it could work in my favour.
Works in our favour. Right.
Number 9, it's time for this. For the last podcast of the season, we thought we'd revert back to the old jingle.
Or ever.
/ it's the only one I could find. Sean, you put on the group earlier, which is facebook.com/morethanjustapodcast.
Yeah, because no one else prepares for this podcast.
We are in the studio tonight for our last podcast of the season to discuss the loss against Liverpool and the win against Burnley to finish in 11th spot. We will discuss the past season and look forward to how we could sign in the summer. Send any questions or statements of that before 7:30 p.m. tonight.
And you?
Ian McGregor says, do you think the board are going to keep quiet during the summer transfer circus? I get tired of it. We have to spend big money on quality. Thing is, how much are we going to use?
So what I will tell you is at the bloggers meeting, I was sitting next to Jack Sullivan. And Jack Sullivan, we asked him this question. It was the only one question he answered. And he said, Dad's promised me he's going to keep his mouth shut this transfer window.
Well, he's the one who tweets it all, so just don't tweet it.
Well, he doesn't lately, though, does he? To be fair, he's been doing work experience. I asked Jack today, the meeting's today, he's not tweeting anything. He's doing his work experience for the club, and he's nowhere near what's going on.
Do you think they, in your meetings...
He's a chairman in waiting, is young Jack.
Do you think they sense a turn of tide against them to some degree?
No, not at all. No, they don't.
Tore Sandaka Sislak, I think I've said your name right.
Wow.
Says, what's your opinion on Nordveit? Keep him another year? Has Slaven really given him a fair chance? Nordveit has played 2, maybe 3 matches in his real best position. Ain't enough time, if you ask me.
He's a freebie. I'd sell him. He's on 55 grand a week.
I'd keep hold of him. Squad
55
player.
55 grand a week, squad player.
That's the kind of money people will expect these days, sure.
Not from Sacco. Sacco's on 27.
No wonder he wants to leave.
I see him at the beginning of the season in the European games. He looked quality. And on the odd occasion, he looks decent, but on some occasions, he looks awful. But he's been played out of position. So
I'll get rid of
him. If he wants to stay, I would keep as a squad player.
Douglas Woodhurst says, great podcast this season. Thank you, Douglas. You should say thank you, really, because you've been doing most of them.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, the second half of the
season.
Cheers.
Lanzini is the one we need to keep hold of. What about going after Benteke? I hope 3 or 4 signings that Billy's talk about
anymore.
Include 2 strikers. Looks like right back is done.
Yeah, I agree. The right back's done. I just haven't, in all of my, talking to where we talk to agents and we talk to sources of the club,
Benteke's
never come up in any conversation.
No, I think he's been gone, hasn't he?
Do you think we're going to buy 2 strikers?
I think we're going to try to buy 2 strikers.
I think
what we'll probably do is try to buy 2 strikers, get one overpriced one, and then get a Caleri on loan last day.
Well, I can tell you now, if a bid came in for Carroll, they would take it, but they're not going to try and get rid of him. If Carroll went, they would definitely get 2 strikers.
See, I think that's what they do. I think they will get 1 striker, they will keep Carroll, and they'll bring Martinez in and Fletcher.
But let's not forget Sacco. Sacco is at his last chance saloon. We're not going to get rid of him. No one would want him. He's only got 1 year left. He's got to save his career. This is not just about money anymore. This guy has got to start getting fit and start scoring goals, or he's finished as a footballer. No one else is going to take a chance on him unless he can get his temperament right, he can get his head right, and he can get his injury sorted.
So
cannot go. He's going to work. He's back in Senegal now. He's had his holiday early. He's coming back literally next week, 1st of June. He's going to start training at Rush Green while no one else is there. And he's going to go right through to June and hopefully start his pre-season.
So he's staying?
He's staying. Well, where else could he go? There's no point in paying him a year's wages, paying him up, and no one else will buy him.
The strikers then will be a new striker.
Yeah.
Carroll, Sacco.
Yeah.
So we're going to do Fletcher or Martinez. Now, Martinez is pushing.
No, we will be buying another striker. There will be a main marquee striker, which they would like, Bashir.
Yeah, that's what I say, a striker.
Ed Hughes says, why have so many of our players been injured this year? Is Rush Green the issue, or is it our approach?
I don't know. Is it Rush Green, Sean?
Well, Rush Green, by the way, has got one of the best facilities. So the pitch, the million-pound pitches they've bought, is the same specification as the London Stadium and the Emirates and Wembley, etc. The heating, the lighting, everything. We've got none of the problems we had at Chepwell Heath. Okay, so I don't think it's the facilities of the pitch. What I will say is, though, there's been a lot of criticism of the training techniques. One of the things being discussed today, I'm told, at the end of season meeting in Birch Hall in Essex, is the need to mix it up in the backroom team. Now, this could be a bit of a contentious issue for Slav, because he's very loyal. He surrounds himself by people. The fitness coach is like a 69-year-old ex-handball champion from Croatia. I think he should go, personally. And when you look at, no disrespect, Julian Dix, what role does he play? And then I think you could get in. The rumour is they're looking for a defensive coach. They will give him extra money to bring in a defined defensive coach, because Slav's done that in the past. I think they want to bring in a new defensive coach to improve. They've leaked so many goals this season, they think they should bring in a a new defensive coach.
Palumi Ogunlana says maybe we should look at Florian Tovan, Chicharito, or Steve Mooney. I don't know.
I don't know any of them.
Chicharito,
he won't come.
He won't come. There was talk about him last summer, wasn't there? And
I'd love him.
Big money in
him. Lewis Erentrout says, are our first three fixtures of next year still away from home?
Yes, we talked about them a minute ago. Or 2-3, depending on how the transfer computer fares for us.
Transfer computer.
Fixture computer. And whether we play on a Monday or not. So it might be, you know, if one of our games got moved to a Monday instead of a Saturday, then the stadium might be ready for the third game. So you might have the first two games away from home. But if our game got moved to a Monday by Sky, because we're playing Chelsea, then the stadium will be ready for that game.
Palumi Ogunlana says, again, loan deal for Batshuayi looks nice if possible. Hopefully we keep Byram and maybe still Ake and Begovic from Chelsea.
So question for you on Byram. How does Byram get into the team with the Zabaleta fit?
Well, he just stays as a backup. And
he's staying in the squad, wasn't he?
I can't remember the Zabaleta guy. He's pretty fit, isn't he? He's not injury prone.
I don't remember him particularly injury prone. No. Tim Sharman says, what are your thoughts on the failure to get Vodafone on board as stadium sponsors, Sean?
It's got nothing to do with West Ham. And we weren't getting any money out of it, so I don't see it makes a difference. And the good thing is the clarity.
It's a non-event, Tim.
So, they had £5 billion of losses, right? And they've decided
Brexit.
To their portfolio of sponsorship is going to change. And they think, actually, that there wasn't enough range of things. They said sometimes aligning yourself with a football team sometimes puts other people off. So if you align Vodafone with West Ham, if you're a Millwall fan, then you go, well, I'm not going with Vodafone. If you're a Chelsea fan, it's a bad idea sometimes.
Ed Hawthorne says, would you rather have our current club owners, who I believe to be genuine supporters of our club, or a super rich foreigner with no club ties?
Current owners, without a doubt, 100%. Saviours of our club.
Super rich.
Saviours of our club.
I'd have a former or a fan as chief exec, but an investor of super rich.
I would Michael Taboor, maybe.
I would have the Chelsea model,
yeah,
please.
What? Someone who interferes with the manager all the time and sacks managers
like
whore brings down our drawers,
or someone in the 13 years or whatever he's been there invested £1 billion and has won 6 Premier League trophies or whatever it is, a Champions League. And
yeah, how much has he spent many? Though?
A billion. Lot of money.
1 billion.
Yeah. We're over an hour now. Come on.
Well, it's the last podcast.
It is the last podcast, but it's too long.
Ever.
It's too long. No one wants to listen to us for an hour.
Wait, so they've got a whole season, right? A closed season to listen to this.
Or should we just record the journey home then and add it in?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well, it says decision time and goodbyes because there's rumours that this is the end of Wanderers podcast.
Well, we need to discuss this, right? Cast on the table.
Do we need to discuss it on air, though?
Yeah.
John, your microphone's playing up.
We should. We should discuss this live on air. So the problem
is... discuss it quickly then, because like I said, we're over an hour.
George has moved away.
To the Outer Hebrides.
To the Outer Hebrides. So he can't get into the studio. He works in London. He can't get into the studio because he takes a long train home. John just goes along with anything we do. But it is George's podcast, and he founded this. And as you know, George has been missing from this podcast quite a lot of times, which has left me to do one on a mobile phone with sometimes Nigel. And the quality's not been good. There's been some errors in the production. Because I'm not a sound editor like George. So really, we've sort of fought long and hard. Should more than just a podcast continue? Or after 200 episodes, should we call it a day?
Well, that means we just do like 8 next season to take us up 200 across the season.
The bottom line is the technical side. Let's face it, if we can get a technical system together that we can record remotely to a decent standard, we can carry on. If we can't, this could be it. So if we're not here next season, thank you for listening.
Well, let's make a promise, actually, because if we're not making a decision now whether this is the end of more than just a podcast, right, we should try over the close season to try and get a technical solution. But if we can't, we should do our farewell episode.
Well, we
one farewell episode.
I agree we can do a farewell episode, but what I will say is that pretty much
I will
every
spend 7 hours picking up George again and bringing him to the
pretty
studio.
Much every end of season we've discussed doing a closed season podcast and we never even managed to do that. So the likelihood of you, essentially you and George, getting together to work out a technical solution to this is pretty slim.
Yeah, but George could actually try and get the solution working. I could try and replicate it on my laptop. Anyway, that's a boring part that we want to talk
about.
Anyway,
so that's...
So, we don't know if it's the end.
Well, we're glad we discussed it.
But we will be back. If we decide to call it a day, we will be back to say our farewells. If not, see you next season.
Thank you for listening for the whole of this season.
Yeah, and the other 6 seasons.
And I'm not sure everyone's been listening that long.
Yeah, 193 episodes. They're all available on back catalogue, by the way.
I think some of them aren't anymore because you have to clear them off. I've been George. John has been.
Yeah.
Sean has been.
Observant.
As always. We are More Than Just a Podcast. Thank you for listening.
Have a good summer.
Have a good summer. Come on, you Irons.
Come on, you Irons.
Come on, you Irons.
Bobby Moore, more than just a podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.